10 on Racing HQ. Good morning to Frankly Friedman's. That's the very own Richard. How are you, Richard?
Good, thank you, Andrew. You well?
Very well indeed. And joining us online also is Ray Murray, the chairman of stewards here for Racing New South Wales. Morning, Ray.
Hi there, Andrew. G'day, Rich.
Hey, Ray.
Now, the Australian Stewards Conference that wrapped up yesterday, Monday and Tuesday, a number of different points were looked at. I'm going to start with a couple and then I'll let Richard, or I'll start with one and then Richard can have a crack. I want to start with a...
What do you think I'm going to have a crack? Well, I agree with them all.
No, I mean have a crack at the interview. I didn't mean that you were going to have a crack at Ray.
This is actually a working conference, Rich. This is one of
I want to start with one that you told me about off air earlier today, and that's in regard to anti-corruption codes that very much cricketers all over, that if someone approaches a cricket player, that that player or person has to report that to, I presume, Cricket Australia. Racing is very much looking at something similar, Ray?
Yeah, look, a couple of the anti-corruption people have expressed a view. It was just strange that we don't have it in the rules. New South Wales does have a general rule about reporting offences. Terry Bailey referred to it yesterday as the snitch rule, Richie, but certainly with serious offences like corruption, there should be a requirement on a licensee if they were approached by particularly people from a criminal background to do something relative to the integrity of racing. There should be a requirement to report it. You'll probably remember Zach Purton was fined very heavily by the Hong Kong stewards, and Kim Kelly was there at the meeting, the conference yesterday. He was approached by a person of a dubious background over there that had a previous involvement with the jockey, and the jockey club in Hong Kong took the view that Zach Purton should have reported that.
Just on that, Ray, how effective... I mean, can this be? I mean, a person who wants to get involved in something like that is hardly going to report it, and a fine's not going to really scare them. How's it going to apply, and how's it going to be enforced?
Rich, it's not something that's going to happen very often, but unless you legislate and say the racing industry is serious about putting measures in place, and that industry members, if they receive an approach, must report to authorities. It's a starting point. I don't suspect that there's going to be too many knocking on our doors, but we should be serious about those matters.
Fair call. The next one, Andrew?
Yeah, no, you take it off now.
The one that interested me during the week, Ray, was the one that was brought up about horses that weigh in light. Not being declared a non-runner. At this point in time, the rules stand, I think they're uniform across Australia, that if a horse weighs in light after a race, the punters lose. It may be declared, it'll be disqualified, but the punters who back that horse will still lose their money if, in fact, it ran a place or won, and therefore they may have been entitled to a return. But they also lose their stake, regardless of where it finishes. But the problem with that being is, for the punter, he's never had a chance to have a win. And that sort of flies in the face of the basic premise of having a bet. If you can't win, you shouldn't be able to lose. And from the time that horse leaves the mounting yard, most of the time, it's a lead bag being left off or a bit of gear being left off by whoever saddles the horse. Then in those instances, he's never had a chance. Why shouldn't he get his money back? Why shouldn't that horse be allowed to be declared a non-runner?
Well, I've argued that for 20-odd years.
I know.
As eloquently as you have there, obviously not as eloquently, but maybe in the timing, we finally got it through a stewards' conference and an agreement to go forward with a rule that looked after the winner. The basis of that was, well, if a horse ran second and it carried, let's say, 2 kilos light, it wasn't fair to be taking part of the winnings of the winning punter when he couldn't beat him carrying less weight. But, look, probably we shot ourselves in the foot, we being the stewards, and at the same time we were part of the development of a new set of electronic scales, which I'll use the term are idiot-proof, and I hope I'm proved right, but... you can't have this situation of the clerk of scales and the jockey weighing, you know, looking the wrong way and weighing out incorrectly. Now, that won't cure every instance of light weight, because you still have the fact if the officials don't pick up and the trainer inadvertently doesn't put on the lead bag and it gets passed and out and runs. But I think the administrators took the view, well, look, here in New South Wales, we've bought 30 set of these scales. We've spent $100,000-odd. Let's see in 12 months' time whether we do really have a problem at all, because I suspect 90% of the cases are human error at the weigh. So I think that's why it got knocked out. We took the view at the conference that we'll keep some figures and we won't hesitate to bounce it up again if the punters aren't getting looked after.
See, that's the bit I can't understand, is that it would cost basically nothing to change the rule. With 90%, I think you're being fairly pessimistic there. I think if you went back over the records of the last 20, 25 years, it'd be 99.9% just human error, honest mistakes. So we've got a rule in place for a 0.1% chance that someone might be corrupting, and then every time it happens, the punters lose their money and create a furore. I don't see the balance is right there.
No, look, Rich, you don't have to convince me. And I think we've had this talk before.
Yes.
I think some of my predecessors in Victoria argued that, of course, a jockey, a horse having been supported heavily, gets beat, the jockey could throw away lead.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know in this day and age with the number of cameras we have around tracks that really holds much grounds, but that was an argument that kept it at bay for years. There's been a lot of positions to get it this far. We got it to the line, but it didn't get over the line, but we won't give up, Rich.
No, I reckon
if you don't want to keep having this conversation, just change the rule. And then we stop having the conversation
yeah, but that's not
every
that, but,
year.
But, yeah, but that's
do.
Not the stewards. It's the National Racing Board that have made
I
this
know,
decision.
But they'll take the stewards' recommendation for sure.
No, nah, well, look, Rich,
those people haven't got a clue otherwise. They should take the stewards' recommendation.
I told you he'd have a crack, Ray. He laughed at me.
Look, he's spent enough time in administration to know that our view doesn't always prevail.
No, understand.
Now, I think yours does.
I'll straighten up and keep going.
Especially when you took the steward's lunches off us, Rich.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking about your health, but we move on.
Now, what about the one regarding horses gaining an advantage out of a barrier? We've had a couple of these. There's not a large amount of them, Ray, but you're keen on putting a rule forward to the Australian Racing Board?
It was two within a few days, one in Victoria, and both, interestingly, both horses won, and the stewards, Victoria, New South Wales, well, ruled differently, but of course quite different circumstances. But we feel just as, and again it's a controversial rule, a horse being denied a fair start, if something breaks through or the gate opens prematurely, gets an advantage, really the only remedy from the steward's point of view, if they deem he's got an advantage, is to call to no race where no one wins. We think there should be a facility there simply to declare the horse the non-runner, give the punters their money back, and at least someone gets prize money and the order of placings are paid, leaving aside the horse with the advantage. So we'll put that up with plenty of gusto, but I think it's a no-brainer. I think that discretion should be there.
You know, there's a 0.11% that someone might tamper with the gates there, Ray, so, you know, I can't see it's any different from the other one, but let's move on. At least that one's going through. I fully support that. I think you've got the right attitude there.
Okay, what
well,
else?
I can put a tick beside that.
You can put a tick on that.
What else have you got, Richard? Anything else you want to have a crack at?
No, Ray and I have been good mates for a long time, but he knows we don't agree on everything, but we have strident arguments. No, look, those three rules are all there to protect the punter. And really, I think what we've come to realise in this game is we don't protect the punter, we're not going to have a game to worry about. So, you know, anything that can give the punter more confidence that they can win, that they can't lose their money without having a chance to win, I think that they're all steps in the right direction. I just get frustrated with the bureaucratic red tape that we have to go through to what seems like, to me, very, very simple decisions. And I'm not saying that, you know, Ray's in any way at fault here. He has to negotiate the bureaucratic nightmare as well. But there shouldn't be a bureaucratic nightmare. That's the whole point. That's the bigger picture. The whole of racing is bound up in red tape with state by state. It's all ridiculous. We're going to kill our own sport if we don't get that sorted.
I think, Rich, one reason why it's very popular for Australian stewards to be headhunted into particularly Asian racing jurisdictions is exactly as you say, that here in Australia, we're more orientated towards the punter and looking after their interests, where from what I've seen around the world, the rule book started looking after the horse and the protection of the horse and the connections and trainers. But here we are very punter orientated, and we need to be as well.
And I think on that front, I think Kim Kelly was there, wasn't he, in the last couple of days?
Kim was across, and we had the New Zealand chief steward, who, of course, goes back to a couple of very interesting races there with jockeys betting in their jurisdiction, and I think they're going to closely look at it. Which one other one out of the stewards, I know you took an interest listening on Sunday, was the proposal by one state, which I'd say didn't have many legs, but was to make a horse an outside draw, a horse with bad barrier record, to make him jump from the outside. As I said to Terry Bailey, he might be delighted in the new market to get into barrier 24, but yeah. I don't think too many owners or trainers would be very happy getting stuck in barrier 16 for half a dozen starts.
No, that puts the onus on the stewards then to make a decision about which is an inferior barrier and which is not giving a rogue horse an advantage. And that's an incredibly subjective path to go down, and no steward should have to make that decision. The only decision the stewards should have to make is this horse a barrier rogue? Has it had a fair chance to go into the gates? If the answers are yes, it is behaving like a rogue and it has had its fair chance, it goes back to the mounting yard. That's the only movement that should be made with it.
Well, the one thing that I've got through this morning is that Richard or Ray, no, it's yours, your call, Richard. You need to take Ray out for a lunch.
Oh, I'm always happy for a lunch. Yeah, I took all the lunches off the stewards. So Ray maintains, I don't remember doing it, but he maintains I removed all the stewards' lunches at Randwick when I was there. But I don't remember doing it. But anyway, they're back on.
It's indelibly in our minds, Rich.
All
yes,
right.
I can see that.
Yes, no, it's been a while, Richard. If he's still thinking about it, mate, you definitely did it.
It's 6 years ago and he's still lamenting it.
Thank you, Ray. We'll chat again on Saturday morning. Appreciate coming on and talking after the conference.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Richard.
That's a pleasure, but nobody gets a free lunch.
Richard Friedman joining us there. He'll be back next Wednesday with...